That's not easy to get them organized, singing together, all of that. That's hard work. They put in a lot of practice. And, you know, there are so many wonderful volunteers that come together to make the ministries of this church. We're enjoying the projector today because some men came during the week and spent time up in that dreaded place of the attic. And they dared crawl where no man go. You're not going to catch me up in there. You know, I go back here in the closets beside the baptistry. I'm scared of those places. I don't do that. You know, I'll stay down here where it's nice and comfortable, where, you know, it's pretty and all that. But up there in the attic area, those are brave souls that crawl through there and do that work, run those cables, repair those projectors. You guys have got such a servant heart. Thank you. Thank you. You're wonderful. I love you. You're a fantastic body of Christ. And I tell you, I'm thankful. I was just thinking this week how grateful I am that my family was called to you. You know, when I wonder, you know, sometimes I feel down sometimes. And I wonder, well, does the Lord love me? He reminds me of you. He loves me this much. And you are a blessing to my life. And I thank you. I thank you. We have a privilege this morning of opening the Word of God. Let us, with hearts of wonder and eyes of faith, let us open the Bible to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And I regret to tell you that we can only take a look at the first five verses today, but the Lord allowing, we'll try to return to this text, the remainder of Psalm 84, in the weeks ahead. By the way, don't forget, ladies, to sign up for the ladies' Bible study, the small group. If you'd like to be a part of that, if you'd like to try it out, feel free to sign up for more information, and we'll get you that information. The Lord is doing wonderful things in our small groups already, far more than I expected, and we're just grateful that the Lord has begun that ministry here. And I want to encourage you to get involved in the small group ministry. Yes?
Just encouraging everybody. I have a small group. So I'm here. You do not have to know a lot of Bible. You don't have to be able to find your way to the Bible. The questions were put out there that you don't have to talk about these texts. Just look at it. I do this if God welcomes you in that group. God will give you something personal and a personal way to deal with your life. Everyone in my group, is that right, Jane? You sense God giving you something. But you miss us. By case you hear a lecture, by case you're going to have quizzes, you have the time. Okay? And there's no students, no collection. Bring your friends. They don't have to know the Bible. They may not be comfortable in the church. They'll be comfortable there. So I encourage you. Okay? And you know what I agree with my group? Bring a single one. Okay? And you can expand that. So I just want to encourage you with that. Please try out. Give it a try. Get a feel for it. It's not the Bible lesson. It's not the Bible.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. Yes. Thank you for your leadership in our small groups. I appreciate you. Thank you. You're an encouragement to me. Thank you. All right. Well, we look at Psalm 84. We look at the first five verses. And to help us kind of get an idea for what's going on here, you need to remember the last time you were separated from something you love, from someone you love, over a prolonged time. And maybe that was someone that was dear to your heart that was separated by distance. Maybe that you were far from home. You couldn't get home. I remember one Christmas I was far from home. I hadn't been home in what seemed like a year. And I'd been away from Mama's cooking for that long. I can't believe it. Can you believe it? It was extraordinary circumstances. And I remember I was driving home for Christmas. And I think I sang the whole way. Going home for Christmas. You may have been heartbroken at times, being separated from someone or something you love. And you felt that ache inside. You felt that longing inside. It was almost inconsolable. You felt that pain of separation. This psalmist is going through such an experience. To me, it seems like he's homesick for the presence of God. He has found something in the presence of God that he can't find anywhere else. And some of you know exactly already what I'm talking about. The psalmist has found a satisfaction in God's presence, in the worship of the one who is worthy, that all of a sudden all the puzzle pieces in his life, they have clicked into place. He knows why he is here, because he has found how worthy the Lord is. And some of you have too. Some of you are wondering what I'm talking about. Good news, the Lord is worthy. And you can find that today. You can begin to pursue the Lord and seek after God and dig into His depths, explore the Word, go into prayer, thrive in the fellowship. You can grow in Christ. You see, this text, and the reason I had such a passionate prayer about revival is this text is about revival. Matter of fact, I believe the Psalms that we're looking at in this little survey are about revival. They are about your heart being surrendered to the place where it's consumed by the greatness of who God is. And friends, you don't know joy until you're overwhelmed by the greatness of who God is. You don't know strength until you're overwhelmed by the greatness of who God is. You don't know hope until you're overwhelmed by the greatness of who God is. Matter of fact, you're just trying to put one foot in front of the other until He sets your soul free. And you know the greatness of who He is. Let me encourage you this morning not to watch as revival happens up here, or watch another as they experience revival in their soul. But let me tell you, come on in, the water's fine. Wade out into the waters, the depths of who the Lord is, and experience for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Surrender to Him. And you might say, well, I've been going to church for 40 years. But are you growing? Is the Lord changing you? If He's not changing you, you're not in revival, friend. I didn't hear as many amens as I thought I'd get. If the Lord isn't changing you, drawing you step by step closer to Himself, you're not in revival. Matter of fact, you may have stepped out of the Lord's hands for the moment. Stubbornness will do that. And I have a degree in stubbornness. I can teach on it. I can lecture on stubbornness. I have a hard head. I'm watching my wife see if she says amen. To her credit, she didn't even give in to my stubbornness right then. She was very gracious. So sweet. Because I'm hard-headed, especially when it comes to God. And I'll dig my heels in. I'll harden my heart. And I'll refuse to budge while I'm right. And the Lord has to take me through a process. Because He loves me. He disciplines those He loves. Right? 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 So, because I'm His, He takes me to that woodshed, Brother Gene. Oh, watch out. Don't ever let Gene take you to the woodshed. That's not a good trip. That's not a good trip to the woodshed, and it's not a good trip back. But when the Lord takes you to His woodshed, it's all out of love, but it doesn't feel like love. But it's for your benefit that He disciplines you to break the stubbornness, to get your attention, to change your heart, to bring you closer. I grew up in an old-fashioned church, and they would have testimony night, right? And these saints of God who are so devoted to the Lord would work themselves up using the back of the pew to leverage themselves up. And once they finally got the knees to lock and they could stand up, they would say, you know, I'm not where I need to be. And I didn't understand the value of that until now. They were confessing their need. They were confessing their place. Now, we almost are a little self-righteous, like we've arrived somewhere. like we used to need him, but we don't today. Friend, I need him this second. As I preach, I have not arrived, but I'm on the way. So the Psalms speak to our heart. The Psalms are songs, and they have a way of connecting to our heart. They expose the truth of our heart. And today, this psalm is about revival because it deals with the heart and being where it needs to be. Today is going to feel a little, for some of you, like heart surgery. Because what the Lord wants to do is make some adjustments to where your heart is, what your heart is set on, what your heart is fixed on, what your heart craves. And the Lord wants to make some adjustments, and you're going to make a decision today to be satisfied with where you are or to surrender to the Lord. And I'm praying, I'm travailing in prayer that you would be so disturbed by where your heart currently is that you fall on your face before the Lord. Not for me, no. I'm right here with you. I'm one of the ones falling. That we would corporately together fall on our face before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you more than anything. And Lord, I need to be changed. I need you to do the change. I don't need to do the change. I need you to do the change in me. And I need you to bring me closer to you. Because I can't come closer in my own strength. So, you know, I've got two girls, and they're single, and we're taking applications. If you know of any good guys out there, we are considering candidates, if you know what I mean. And sweet girls, for the most part, if you don't cross them, they're all right. But they're sweet girls. I pray for them. Do you pray for your kids?
Amen.
I tell you, it's like the Lord gives you kids to teach you how to pray, right?
Yes, sir.
Because, I mean, it'll drive you to your knees. I mean, you'll weep tears that you didn't know you had. And I mean, you're just, Lord, I need your help with these kids. And I pray over their futures. Lord, what kind of men are you going to bring into their lives? And I begin to tell him what kind of man I want for them. And I've among other things, I pray that they have hearts after God, that they would pursue God so fiercely, so fervently, that it puts me to shame. God, make their relationship with you make it look like I don't even know you. God, let it cause me to be so ashamed of my discipline, my discipleship, that I get down to business. What I want for them. That's what I want for you. My heart is that you would so fervently desire the Lord that it convict my soul. And you lead me into depths I don't know. Let's look at Psalm 84, verses 1 through 5. If you would stand for the reading of the word. The psalmist begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We only have time. I was neck deep in the study of Psalm 84, and as I plunged in, I soon found that this was way too much to handle on one Sunday. So we divided the text into two parts. We'll endeavor to get to the last half perhaps next week if the Lord allows. But for now, I'd like to give you two signs that your heart values God above all else. Now, there may be other signs, but I just want to bring your attention to two I found in this text. Two signs that your heart values God above all else. And what will naturally happen is as we look at the scripture, you'll compare your heart to these signs. You'll say, well, is that me? Where do I line up? And let me tell you, this is a call to revival. This is not a call to guilt. This is not a call to shame. This is not a call to legalism or works. But this is an invitation out of grace to come near. God is calling us near His heart. Okay? So two signs that you value God above all else, because, friend, we need to value God above all else. And unfortunately, we live in a time and a place where it's common to love everything but nothing. It's common to love flippantly, casually, as a veneer, and love nothing with great depth. Have you found this in your life? Have you seen this in those around you?
Yes, sir.
Before you see it in yourself, you see it in those around you. But if you look close, you'll see it in yourself. The song of this culture is not to be passionate. It's not to be invested, not to be devoted. I use the word devoted a lot in my sermons because I don't think we are devoted. We have devoted ourselves. You see, the generations of yesterday, they knew something about devotion. And I'm not preaching the yesterday's years gone by as gospel. They had a lot of things they needed to improve on, but one thing they got right. They were devoted and they were faithful. We can learn from that. So, two signs that you value God above all else. Number one, you want to be near God. And you may find some notes in your bulletin. If they're helpful, please look at them. If they're not helpful, just put them to the side. One sign that you value God above all else, you want to be near Him. Matter of fact, this consumes you. Look at the first line of our text. How lovely is your dwelling place. The place where I can find God has become dear to me. It has become precious to me. It has become special to me. And from time to time in my walk with God, that place where I find Him most has changed. Sometimes this is my prayer closet and my time in prayer. It becomes precious to me. It is where I dig into the depths of His heart and He digs into the depth of mine. Sometimes it is in private, one-on-one worship with God, where I'm singing to Him, about Him, singing His praises. Sometimes it's when I open the Word of God and I study and I spend some time. I'm not trying to see how much I can read to check it off a list. I've done my reading for the day. But I'm in the Word because I want to hear Him and I want to understand Him. I need to know Him, so I go to His Word. And sometimes, the place where I meet Him that is of the richest depth is in the assembly of believers, the fellowship of the redeemed, where this fellowship is what transforms me. And that is what we're shepherding toward now, right now. The efforts are going on right now to shepherd this body of believers toward a fellowship that transforms us. What makes the difference between watching a service online and attending a service in person? For many people, not a thing. I'd just as well watch it on the internet. Now I got your attention. When we can get the same thing out of watching it online as we can get here, we failed. The church was never intended to be a spectator sport. It was meant to be an involvement, a fellowship that had the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost on it to change your life. We need to return to that, and by God's grace, we will try in this house. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. There's more of that coming, all right? All right? Toward the end of the year, we're going to dig into what is the church? What is the church meant to be? And we're going to talk about that, study that a little bit. Grow in that. So the places where I find God, and that place where I find God has become dear to me in a way that I don't want anything to take that away from me. I won't let anything rob me of gathering with the believers. It's evident that those who came before us loved this house of worship. Have you ever looked at how they provided for us such a house of worship? Somebody went to great lengths, great expense, to provide Doctors Creek Baptist Church with such excellent facilities. That didn't just happen. Somebody, poor people, sweet, wonderful people who didn't have much, but what they had, they put in the offering plate to build for us a house of worship, because their devotion to the Lord . You can have a wonderful building, but if you no longer desire with all of your heart to be there, it reveals your heart. It reveals where our heart really is. There was a generation that thought this house of worship was worth their effort. It was worth their sacrifice of their wealth. It was a place where they gave their lives. It is more than a place where their name is inscribed on little memorial plaques on the windows and along certain areas. It was a place where they left the mark of their lives in this place. Some of you remember some of the people who did that. Thank God for them. They served the church tirelessly for decades, and their piety is known throughout the community. If you mention Doctors Creek to anybody in Walterboro who's been here a little while, and I've done it, they'll say the same thing. Oh, I know those folks. Those are good folks. And they'll talk about how they ministered to people in the city and how their family was rooted in this church. We're enjoying the devotion of another generation. Not long ago, I got a call on a Sunday morning, and I, out of confidentiality, I don't want to tell you who it was. It was just a regular Sunday morning, and I got a phone call. I don't get many phone calls on Sunday morning. I answered. And on the phone was a dear person from this church. And I didn't recognize who it was to begin with because they were crying. They were sobbing. Their heart was broken. They were coming undone. And I could barely recognize who it was. And after I finally just was patient with the person as they dealt with their sorrow, it finally came out why they were in tears and they couldn't speak plainly. They could barely breathe. They were crying so hard. This person was crying because they weren't going to make it to church that morning. So much. They loved the house of God so much. They were so invested in the gathering of the saints that to not be able to be there in a situation beyond their control drove them to a place where they were beside themselves with sorrow. This person found the place of worship lovely. And it convicts my heart. Does it convict yours? How we sometimes flippantly make the decision. I'm not talking about when you're sick, and I'm not talking about when you're on vacation, and I'm not talking about when you can't be here because of situations. We all have situations. But there are some times I don't come to church with the right heart. I don't come with a desire to surrender. Sometimes when I come to church, I'm stomping my feet. that's not what the Lord would have for us. We can do better. Is the house of worship lovely to you? Do you desire to be here above all things because you've met with the one this house is devoted to? Are you faithful to the fellowship? You see, our attendance here has to be motivated by more than nostalgia. If you're coming because of nostalgia, you're actually worshiping at a whole different altar to a whole different God. Do not come here out of nostalgia. Don't stay home. Don't come here out of nostalgia. All right? We've got to be motivated by more than a sense of obligation. Well, this is my grandparents' church. This is my parents' church. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy's buried out there. This is why I come here. I come here because this is what a good Christian does. Well, friend, you may not have an idea what a Christian is, much less be one, if that's why you're here. So be honest. We might as well be honest. You got dressed up to be here. We might as well tell the truth, right? Why are you here? It needs to be. The proper motivation is because He is wonderful. And there are other people of like mind and heart gathering, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, not for anything. I need to be there. And when they sing of His love, I want to sing the loudest. And when they celebrate His goodness, I want to testify. And when they say to how faithful He is, oh, I'm going to dance before the Lord. He has been good to me, and I love Him, and He deserves my whole heart. And whatever He requires of me, whatever He needs of me, oh, it is His. It is His, it is His, because He is worthy. My heart is all His. And maybe you're not quite there yet. That's okay. As long as we're all taking the next step to get there. Okay? This is not meant to guilt you, shame you, but it is meant to convict us all, including myself. Because sometimes we don't find His house lovely. The text goes on. He says, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. This is expressing two things, and I want to talk about them. Number one, it's expressing an urgency to worship. Do you feel an urgency, a compulsion, a drive, a motivation you can't fight to worship, to find Him worthy, to sacrifice to the Lord? The psalmist has found something in corporate worship that he can't find anywhere else. This is specifically corporate. He wants to go to the courts of the Lord. In the Old Testament, that would have been the temple. In the New Testament, that is the gathering of believers, the church. He wants to be in the courts of the Lord. This one thing drives him. It compels him. It draws him to the point that when he's away from it, he's consumed with it. He yearns for it. Have you ever yearned to be in the house of God? It's to the place where when he's away from it, he feels like he can't go on. He faints. His strength fails. He said, I can't go on. I've got to meet with the Lord. I've got to gather with the believers. I have to worship Him. What has he found that consumes him? What did he find in the assembly that has so gripped him? It's a sense of nearness to God. Isn't it true that sometimes when you can't sense God's nearness anywhere else, you can come to church? And then you start singing those familiar songs. And you start hearing those public prayers. And you hear the teaching of the Word of God. And you sense a nearness in this place. Isn't that true? Sometimes when I'm in a place where I'm dry, and we all get there, I can come to the house of the Lord and be refreshed. He found that the house of God was a place of focus on God. It was the place where, among all other names, all other ideas, all other philosophies, the name of Jesus is lifted above every one of them. It's a place devoted to the Lord. Try to find another place in this town devoted to the Lord, and the only place you can look is another church. Gather with believers here, gather with believers there. These are islands. They are an oasis in a land hostile to God. I believed he loved the house of the Lord because it was a place he could offer a sacrifice to the Lord. You know, the Lord is holy. You just don't go about worshiping him any way you want to. That doesn't work. He's holy. Read the Old Testament. He prescribes a certain way that you approach him and a certain way you love him. And if you try to love him some other way, that's more an act of our selfishness than our devotion. He's holy. And so, the psalmist could not offer a sacrifice, and sacrifices are important. We want to worship without a sacrifice. We want a closeness without going to the altar. And friend, that's not going to work. So, he saw the house of the Lord as an opportunity. This is where I can demonstrate my devotion between me and God. So, the psalmist, he left his desire for what was easy behind him. And in his pursuit of the Lord, he found the Lord worthy of the extra effort. And I think sometimes we struggle for that. Sometimes. So, number one, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord, expresses two things. The first one, expressing an urgency to worship. Number two, expressing a dependency for closeness to God. Now, that doesn't sound right. That this man would cultivate a sense of dependency on the closeness of God. That is against everything that we hold dear. Matter of fact, one thing we want is our independence from any and all things. We want to be our own person, autonomous in every way. That we direct what we love. We direct what we do. We direct how we go. We direct our calendar. We direct it. I'm the boss of me. You ever heard that from a three-year-old? My youngest one day, defiantly, I was scolding her, probably whooping that tail. And she defiantly made eye contact with me. She goes, "When do I get to be the boss of me?" And very sadly, I informed her, "Never. That's never going to happen. I'm not the boss of me." The gospel is that we surrender the boss of who we are to Jesus. That he becomes Lord. He becomes master. This psalmist has found a place of dependency on the closeness of God. You know what this sounds like? If he'd had this word in his vocabulary at the time, I believe he would have said, "I'm addicted. I'm addicted. I can't get enough. What I do get lasts me a little while, but in a little bit I'm going to need some more. I'm addicted. I am chasing after God. I'm seeking him. I'm pursuing him. He's what I need. He's what I want. Nothing else will work. I'm dependent on the closeness of God." We treat the Lord like a campfire. Times get rough, we'll pull that chair up close, like we're cold. We'll pull it up close. And then when we feel the warmth, that's too much. That fire's hot, that's too much. That's starting to change me. That's starting to toast my marshmallows. That's starting to affect who I am. And so we scoot the chair back. Well, I don't have to be a fanatic about it. I don't have to be in church every Sunday. Well, I don't have to read the word every day. Well, I don't have to be so crazy like Todd and all that. You need to be crazier than me. You need to be more fervent, more dedicated, more devoted, more disciplined. Please don't set the bar this high, because if you have, You set it too low. I'm not the goal. Jesus is.
Amen.
We all have our dependencies. There are things in your life that if you took them away, you'd start to holler. Can I say it that way? Is that right? We're country folks. I can say that. If you took away my coffee, you'd know it. All right? I'd start to scream, shout, pout, huff, puff. It'd be on Facebook. I mean, it'd be everywhere. She took my coffee away this morning. I don't know if I can make it, y'all. All right? I need it. I've grown accustomed to it. I look for it. I expect it to be there. We're all dependent on something, maybe a few things. And we have a tendency as humans to be addicted to some things. I wonder why. Is it because your soul is cut in such a shape that you desire eternity, you desire a Savior, you desire fellowship with the Almighty, and then nothing else will fit? You desire a love that is divine, yet we often settle for loves that are failing and lesser. You're designed to be addicted and fulfilled by a relationship with the Son of God. And nothing else will work. Everything else leaves you wanting. All right. Verse 3. And I don't know what you did to my time, but it's gone. Verse 3, he mentions a place near your altar. Now this threw me for a curve, because an altar is not a place you want to be beside for any length of time, especially an Old Testament altar. An Old Testament altar looked like a butcher's shop. There's blood everywhere. It's grisly, it's gruesome, it's nasty, it's not comfortable. This is a place of sacrifice. What they're sacrificing is not feelings, it's animals. And they're cutting them open. They're killing them. They're bleeding them and then throwing them in the fire. It's a rough spot to be around. You don't feel comfortable around this area. But the psalmist says, I want a place near your altar. Why? Good question. Our altars today look different than the altars in the Old Testament. And I just explained what an Old Testament altar is. A New Testament altar, we only designate, well, come forward, come to the altar. This is just furniture. There's nothing religious, sacred about this. It's furniture. But if in your heart it is a special place for you, then God recognizes that. If at your seat is a place where you can meet with God, God recognizes that. If driving down the road, and this is dangerous while you're driving, while a car's moving, you got to watch out how you talk to the Lord. If you get lost with the Lord while you're driving, that's dangerous. Hope you're wearing your seatbelt. But wherever you are, if it can be in your living room, out walking in the yard, if you're meeting with the Lord, that can be an altar. Because our Lord is with us. We don't have to pray in the direction of Jerusalem. We don't have to go to a specific place to meet with the Lord. He is with us, and you can meet with Him wherever you are. Our altars are places where our heart meets with God's heart. Most often, these altars are places where we sacrifice our will. And when you sacrifice your will, you start to obey His will. Right? The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place where something's killed. The thing that needs to be killed is you. Where you deny yourself so that you can follow Him. So you go to an altar. You meet with Him in a spiritual place. Not a physical place. A spiritual place. And you sacrifice. You come to a place of surrendering your will so that you can do His will. You sacrifice your desires so that you can begin to love Him more. You sacrifice your anxieties so that you can trust Him more. You sacrifice your time and your energy so that you can serve Him more. You see, every time you surrender, He gets more and more of you. You get closer and closer to Him. The reason we've stopped growing in the Lord is we stop sacrificing. We stop having altar experiences with God. We cut that out of our theology. It was inconvenient for our lifestyles. It's killing us. We're spiritually anemic. You wonder why the church isn't like it used to be? We're not following him like we used to. He's still the same God. This is revival. That you would so love him and find him worthy that you would sacrifice yourself. Deny yourself. Ever heard that before? Deny yourself so that you can follow him. Stop saying yes to yourself so that you can say yes to him. I'm going to have to cut this short. It's my fault. The second point, two signs that you value God above all else. Number one, you want to be near God. Number two, you rejoice to belong to God. You know what? I'm going to listen to the Lord, and I'm going to stop here. You can say amen. I don't do that a lot. We're going to stop right there. What does the Lord want from me and you? Sacrifice. Not a sacrifice for sins. That sacrifice has been made. That sacrifice was sufficient. That sacrifice is finished. That sacrifice is all we need. But now the sacrifices that we offer the Lord are sacrifices of our heart. Our independence. Our petulance, our stubbornness, wanting to do things our own way instead of his way. So today, I call this church to the altar. And this is not to this place of furniture. You can if you want to. If that's special and significant to you, praise the Lord. Use it. But maybe the altar is right there in your seat. Maybe the altar is someplace the Lord wants to take you. The fact is that you come to a place in your heart of surrender. You come to a place where you lay down your will. You lay down what you love. You lay down any aspect of your life. You deny yourself so that you can give it to him for his pleasure, for his use. Today I call this church to revival. And it's a call that's going to continue. The Lord wants our heart. Maybe you're exactly at the place where you've given him 100% of your heart. Maybe you are. Maybe you've reached the fullness and the stature, the fullness of Christ. Maybe you have. Maybe you have. But if not, this is for the rest of us. This is for me. I need to get real honest with the Lord about where I'm at. Of what he deserves. I'm going to pray with you, and as we get to the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask you to respond to this word if you would. Could you bow your heads as we pray? Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, thank you for calling us out of your mercy to a place of fervency and passion. Thank you that because you love us so much, you will not let us be loveless in our relationship. You will not let this relationship be ceremonial. God, thank you that you opened the word to us and you guide us to a place of passion. Now, Lord, I pray you soften the people's heart. I pray, Lord, that you cause them to be responsive not to me, but to you. Holy Spirit, I pray you do the work of convicting. And I pray you do the work of drawing. And Lord, I pray that you empower each person to respond to you with the strength you give them. Lord, give them instructions of where and how to respond to you. Lord, I pray that you direct those you want at this altar on their knees or here at the altar standing. Or maybe they need to right there where they're sitting, just meet with you there. Lord, you direct them how you want them to respond. Lord, show us the specific thing you want us to put on the altar, the thing that you want us to sacrifice to you. Lord, show us where we've been independent. Show us where we've been in rebellion. Show us, Lord, where we've been petulant. Lord, help us to respond. resist you, not to push you away, not to get up and walk out of here unchanged and untouched. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. Now, if that's you, and you know if it is, you know what the Lord is doing. He's affirming that you're his child. He disciplines those he loves. And he's also affirming that, hey, there's more. I want to bring you closer. I want to be closer to you. So if this is you, and the Lord has already talked to you about how to respond, would you do that right now? Whether that's right there in your chair, and if you are responding right there in your chair so I can pray for you, would you raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand? If you like to come forward, come forward. If whatever the Lord is directing you, man, I want you to do it. I want you to have freedom in this house to do what the Lord is leading you to do. There's revival happening. And it's happening in individual hearts to those who really want it. Do you want it? Would you respond to the Lord right now? Would you let him have his way? Would you hand over the keys? Would you say, oh Lord, it's all yours. God, I have been independent. I have been rebellious. I have been stubborn, oh God. And I have been satisfied with loving you a little when you deserve my whole heart. Oh God, forgive me. Forgive Todd right now. I don't pray for them, I pray for me. God, forgive Todd for loving you with less than a 100% heart. Oh God, draw me close. Draw me close. There's still those coming to the altar. If you feel like you need to do that, you can. If you feel like you need special prayer, I'm here. I'd love to pray with you. I believe the Lord is doing a deep work in some hearts this morning. Let him have his way in you. Do you sense that? What's going on in this room right now? There's a peace happening that you haven't felt in a little while. He's Lord. He's the King. He's here. He's here. Would you let him be king of every area of your life? Oh, Lord. You said if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. And I sense that in this room right now, you are doing something supernatural and magnificent. Oh, God. Would you consume the sacrifices that we offer? Would you burn them with a holy fire? Would you consume them with your presence? Would you cause there to be a flame that shouts your name, the greatness of who you are? Oh God, would you change my stone cold heart till it's a heart after your own heart? Oh God, help us to be dissatisfied. Lord, I pray you disturb us until we can't sit still over our apathy, over our casual hearts. We've approached you with casual hearts. Lord, we've forgotten that you're a holy God. Oh God, we repent. We repent. Revive us, Lord. Quicken us, oh God. Bring us to new life. Lord, we pray that you renew a right heart within us. Lord, give us a fresh filling of your Spirit. Guide our steps and lead us. Lord, if there is any way that we have disobeyed you, and I know there are many, I pray that you bring them to our mind. Lord, convict us of our sin. Lord, there are some things we need to make right with you. There are some things that we have looked over and tried to walk away, pretend it didn't happen. And Lord, they were displeasing to you. And at the very least, we need to repent. Maybe in some situations, we need to make them right. We need to go back and apologize. We put our hands We put our lives in the hands of a mighty God. Before we go on with the service, is there anyone else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Maybe you haven't raised your hand, but you'd like to. Maybe you haven't come forward, but you'd like to. Maybe you need prayer, and you've just resisted. There's one more opportunity. You know, I used to be in moments like this, and I would say, I'll do it later. If you won't respond right now when the Holy Spirit is so manifest as this, you won't do it later. Now's the time. Okay? Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord. We've seen a display of your love. Thank you, Lord. You've done something I can't manufacture, I can't make happen. Lord, you've drawn hearts toward you. And Lord, you've begun some change. And you've began some transformation. And Lord, you have caused a spark on dry wood. Oh God, ignite a flame among us. Be Lord of this fellowship. Be Lord of my life. Be Lord of this congregation. Lord, I pray you touch every family represented here. Lord, for those that don't feel a thing, sense a thing, they're just cold. This did not resonate with them. Lord, I pray that you speak to them in a way that does resonate. I pray that, Lord, you would reach them wherever they are. Lord, I pray that you would call them to yourself. Lord, we've seen a display of your tremendous mercy today. Thank you.